Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back to those expected COVID restrictions a little bit later. But now Brian O'Connell has an exclusive interview for us with a sex worker who says she and her friend had a worrying encounter with a client last week. She believes recent legislation here in Ireland isn't working and that COVID has made things more difficult for people who are engaged in this work. Hardly surprising, I suppose, Brian. Remind us first of all about the legislation.
Morning, Claire. I mean, it's relatively new legislation. It's part four of the Criminal Law Sexual Offences Act 2017. So this act removed those who offer their services as a prostitute from the existing offences of soliciting for the purpose of prostitution. Then it added new offences, for example, paying for sexual activity with a prostitute and paying for sexual activity with a trafficked person. So while the act aimed to decriminalise sex workers, it aimed to have an impact on demand and it aimed to tackle human trafficking, it has been criticised by people such as the Sex Workers Alliance of Ireland.
And there is a review of this part of the act underway, Brian.
There is a review underway that was built into the act after 3 years. I'll come back to that because there are two camps, I suppose, essentially. Those who feel that this act is putting sex workers in more danger and those who feel it's having the desired effect, especially in relation to trafficking, and they feel it's too soon to review the act. And again, there are some in this whole issue, in this whole debate, who feel all sex work is exploitation. And then there are some who would vehemently disagree. They believe we need to differentiate between exploitation and trafficking and those who choose to engage in this area of work.
Now, Brian, you want to bring us an account from one sex worker who is not based in Ireland, but she comes here regularly and works here. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, I met Barbara in Cork last week. She worked in the UK for many years, but left a year or so ago, and now she visits Ireland pretty regularly. Every month, for example. She says she works independently. She says she's very selective on who she sees, but she feels that the laws in Ireland will offer her less protection than she gets in different parts of Europe where she works. Now, she has had some experiences here which concerned her, and she says that she's quite comfortable reporting to Gardaí herself that not all sex workers she's met in Ireland would be. So let's begin with Barbara telling me about how the laws are different in parts of Europe she works in, including in Ireland.
They are absolutely different. Let's say in my country, this work is legal. You do pay tax, everything. Let's say in Germany, the model is you do have to register yourself with the police. You do feel a lot of safer because people know, you know, what you do. People know where you work from. You know.
So in Ireland, the situation for you working here is what?
Me as independent provider, it's legal. But it's illegal for me if I do share flat with someone. What could be for numerous reasons, since usually it's for safety reason.
So if there's two of you in an apartment involved in sex work, it's illegal as you understand it.
Yeah, exactly. It's take it like border keeping.
But if you're on your own?
It's fine, but it's
more dangerous. But then it's illegal to pay for sex?
Yeah, it's illegal for client, but it's legal for me. Like, I will receive threats on everyday basis if
you,
I...
You what, sorry?
I will receive threats from clients.
You get threats every day?
Yeah. Just based on, because I'm really picky, because for my safety, I do maybe see 20% of people who contact me in day.
You're quite selective.
So if someone will contact me in some way what I don't like, let's say literally just before we meet, somebody was texting me, and you're just like, I don't. And I'm like, well, hello to you too. And people, a lot of people don't get it. They don't see us like, you know, we are the same like you.
It's hidden, it's underground.
Yeah.
There can be exploitation, basically. Yeah.
And a lot of time when you refuse someone, they can start get abusive. The first message is, you are so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And you just say something what they don't like. And they just turn absolutely abusive, bad things about you, you know, searching in your private life and attacking you. And if you say, like, if you will continue to do this, I will go and I will report you for stalking or harassment. And they will be like, oh, and what do you will do?
So Barbara had an experience a week ago in Ireland, Brian, that she wanted to share with you.
She was working with a friend in an apartment here in Ireland in the past week, and she told me some of what she alleges happened.
I was in the living room watching some TV show and my friend had an appointment, and after like, you know, few minutes, she ran to the living room and she was like, I think I have a problem. Could you help me? So I was just like, what is going on? And she was like, oh, he did refuse shower and he is abusive and he don't want to leave. So I went there, the guy was already in his boxers in the hallway, and I just like, hi, I'm not sure what is going on, but could you please dress up and could you leave? And he immediately starts screaming on me. His body language was really aggressive.
So it became a pretty intimidating situation.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a situation when you want to be in. And he started basically shouting on us things like, oh, and what you will do? Just like, you know what I will do? I will call the guard, they are just behind the corner here. Oh, you will call the Garda, you are illegal, you are illegal immigrant, you work illegally. And one of the things that I was really surprised, he pointed out, it's two of us.
He knew the law very well.
Continually screaming on us, saying things like, I will end you, I will end this flat.
Very frightening, I'd imagine.
Honestly, I was scared, you know. So what I did, I pushed him and closed the door behind him and locked the door immediately, to be honest, because I kind of did. I was a little bit worried if he will maybe don't kick the door or something, and you are just staying here with my friend in shock, you know, kind of shaking.
Has this happened in Ireland before?
I had to kick few people out, you know. I had different situation, but because I think it's just because I'm really picky and I do really take care of my safety. And for me, I don't need to make 1K in day. I would prefer to see two people and maybe do 400 in day than seeing 15 people and putting my life in danger.
Barbara said a few times there over the course of those clips, Brian, that she's very picky, that she screens her clients. But how is she meeting them? It's all online, obviously.
Yes, she works independently. So she has her phone and she screens clients. She will ask them to stand, for example, in a public area near where she's based so she can see who they are. She told me recently a man contacted her and she asked him to stand on a certain corner. And when she looked out, she could see that he was in a group of 8 men, even though he told her that he was on his own. It does carry risks. And those who are in favour of the current legislation would argue that's why it was brought in. But interestingly, she worked in the UK for 8 years, but the uncertainty around Brexit, she was telling me, meant that she began working here over a year ago. I asked Barbara finally whether she felt it was an inherently dangerous choice of work.
It is, but you can do things to prevent them, and I think we really need to help from, you know, from Garda and from the government.
There are some people who will say it is exploitation, no matter what you say.
But at the end of the day, you're selling your body too. Everyone in every job selling their body.
How has COVID had an impact in the past year?
I will say I didn't work for 4 months. It's different. You know, it's really different. You are more worried about, of course, about your health too, and your health of your loved ones, if you may be, you know, seeing your older parents or anything.
And what about now? Because you're meeting clients, obviously, and you're not checking if they have COVID or not. Do you not feel at risk?
Like, technically, I'm a person with health problems. I do have heart disease. So technically, I'm the high risk person, you know, but I don't feel in huge risk. I will say I feel in bigger risk of seeing unknown people than catching COVID.
Okay. The range of clients you have, you're going to shock me and tell me they come from all walks of life.
Of course. It's like all the time my friends are the same, you know, and they're just like, oh, you're just seeing some old creeps or like, you know, people who asking like, you know, for things, you know. I just like, no, honestly, I do see young guys, like for me, it's 23 years and above. And I saw the oldest guy who I saw was 96 in Germany.
So that's Barbara. And as we were saying earlier, Brian, there is a review going in on into our own legislation here. So where is that at?
Well, the review is by lawyer Maura Butler. It's going to quantify the number of arrests and convictions since the Act came in and the extent to which the objectives of the Act have been achieved. There was a public consultation survey. Then there were open submissions. That was up until about mid-September. It's hoped that this review will be presented to Minister Helen McEntee before the end of the year.
And what have others had to say, Brian?
Well, there's been a number of people have been out on this. For example, Colm O'Gorman, Executive Director of Amnesty International Ireland, wants this review to be quite broad. And he feels that the Act, particularly in relation to more than one person in an apartment, for example, that needs to be looked at because he says that has been used against sex workers who are simply working together for safety. A group, the Sex Workers Alliance of Ireland, they're looking to decriminalise sex work in Ireland. And they also provide a range of supports to sex workers who may want to report issues to Gardaí, so they have a very particular viewpoint on it as well.
And Ruhama, they take a different view.
Ruhama takes a different view because they say since the legislation was passed, women who've used their service have been subjected to violence and prostitution. They've reported experiences and they've had better outcomes, they say, since this legislation came in. So they say it makes it safer for people. They say as well that given that the legislation is still in its infancy, as I said, it was just enacted in 2017, they feel it's premature to draw conclusive outcomes from the legislation at this stage. They say contrary to statements from what they call the pro-prostitution lobbyists, there is no evidence, Ruhama says, to suggest that the equality model has led to increased violence against women in prostitution. So Ruhama would have a very different viewpoint to, for example, the Sex Workers Alliance of Ireland.
Brian, thank you very much indeed for that report. Now, earlier on the programme, the point was made that once this announcement happens tonight, Ireland could be looking at restrictions which will be the tightest in Europe when it comes to stopping the spread of coronavirus. And with that in mind, we're going to take a look after this break at what's happening in our European neighbours and how they're dealing with the threat of increasing infections.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.